You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 12th, 2021, I told you that after they get their COVID relief package through, they will be coming for the guns. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, introducing a ban on what she considers, quote, assault weapons. Let them describe it to you later. The bottom line is they want more control over your Second Amendment rights. And as you heard on the network news a moment ago, the House of Representatives had approved a pair of gun control bills. Democrats seizing upon this shifting political landscape to get this done. Passing the Democrat-led House 227 to 203, one of them would close what they call a long-standing loophole in gun laws by expanding background checks to purchasing weapons over the Internet, gun shows, and certain private transactions. There's a lot of false with that I just described to you. A lot of information that's not right, what they claim, but so they go. Second bill passing 219 to 210, two Republicans actually supporting it, would give authorities 10 business days for federal background checks before a gun could be sold. Now, currently, it's 3 days. Then back to the issue about the crisis at the border, which the Biden administration really doesn't want to admit. And yet the White House press secretary is admitting the decision to reverse Donald Trump's immigration policies is bringing more unaccompanied minors to the country. But she says they're coming to be treated with humanity at the border. She said some more have come to our border, and there have been a large flood of children. We recognize it, but we're doing it with a humane approach. Humane approach means they got 3,700 at last report in Border Patrol detention facilities. They don't know where to put them, can't handle them. They're overcrowded. Oh, and the COVID issue. Don't even think about the COVID issue. In his address last night to the nation from the White House, the first for President Biden, he urged all Americans to continue following the Centers for Disease Control guidelines to protect against the Chinese coronavirus. He didn't call it that, of course. But he gave no similar warnings to the thousands of foreign nationals coming in illegally. But he told Americans, listen to Dr. Fauci. Yeah, how many times has Fauci changed his mind? I don't know which page he's on today. Do you? But at the same time, they are allowing illegals to come across the border who may or may not have COVID. And even if they prove that they have COVID, they run a rapid test. They can't do anything about it except let them through. They can't hold them. They just simply tell them, go wherever you're going and quarantine. Fat chance. The pressure continues on Mayor Cuomo. New York Governor Cuomo, another woman coming forward, a female reporter, claiming that he touched her inappropriately, made her feel uncomfortable while she was trying to act as a journalist. She said, I never thought the governor wanted to have sex with me. It wasn't about sex. It was about power. He uses touching and sexual innuendo to stoke fear in us. And that's the textbook definition of sexual harassment, she said. At the time, she was a 25-year-old State House reporter, attended a party thrown by the governor. Said, I went, but I was a little hesitant about going because I knew his reputation. So many knew his reputation, they continue to let it happen. Why? Because it's Andrew Cuomo. You know, the Democrats have thrown an absolute fit, and if you dare say that the election was a fraud involving Trump, you've got to be a conspiracy theorist. You know, Nancy Pelosi now has said she's open to a scenario in which a Democrat-run House of Representatives in Iowa would overturn a close Republican win in Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. She's absolutely willing to go forward and overturn an election that was won by a Republican because they wanted the Democrat to win. Would you think that's a conspiracy theorist on her part? I don't know. What is she saying about Cuomo? Nothing. What is Biden saying about Cuomo? Nothing. What is Kamala Harris saying about Cuomo? Nothing. What is Cuomo saying about Cuomo? Women have a right to come forward, he said. Be heard. I encourage that fully. But I also want to be clear, there's still a question of the truth. I did not do what has been alleged. He's not going anywhere. He's going to fight it. Even though members of his legislature, his state legislature, are calling for him to be impeached. A JetBlue passenger facing a $14,000 fine. He refused to wear the mask while on board and on top of that refused to quit drinking. I guess he couldn't drink if he had the mask on, so he decided I'm going to break both rules at one time. He's fine, kept off JetBlue for the time being.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Joe Biden inherited a huge mess on immigration, and it's not going to be cleaned up in a month. He's only been in office, you know, since January 20th, about 6 weeks, I guess it is. But he's different. His view of immigration is not like Donald Trump's, who was nasty, negative, horrible to immigrants. His view is more like your father's view and my view, which is compassionate, but also competent. One of the problems with the Trump administration is they had such incompetence. So they are rolling up their sleeves and working on this. I think it will get better in the next few months. If it doesn't, I will go to them and say, you got to do better. And if they don't, I will be public. But I got to give them a little bit of a chance because they inherited a big, big mess created by Donald Trump.
No, they did not inherit a big mess created by Donald Trump. Just look at the numbers. Look at the numbers of how many were at the border when Trump was in office, how many were being told you're not going to be allowed to come in, you might as well stop traveling up here. He got Mexico to help shut down its southern border as well to stop those coming up through Central America. And if they did get through, they were to hold them on the Mexico side. Because if they're after amnesty, if they've left Honduras, Guatemala, Salvador, wherever they came from, if they were claiming that they were under threat in that country, once they get to Mexico, they're no longer in that country. They are then able to apply asylum for Mexico. But that was all a farce anyway. They wanted to come to the U.S. But Trump put pressure on Mexico, saying we will start cutting some of our trade if you do not help us stem this flood coming to our gates, to our border. What did Biden do? The first thing he got in there? Executive order, say we're going to remove all the Trump restrictions, and basically, come on. Now, then, now they're trying to say, well, now we the welcome mat is out, but don't come just yet. Do you think they're going to wait until you say it is good to come? If you already opened the border up, as far as they're concerned, they have their way, and they're going to use their way, and they're going to come forward. They're not going to go away. They see that there's an opportunity here. They're not going to give up on that opportunity. But Chuck Schumer wants to say it's really Biden inherited a mess left by the Trump administration. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki is admitting that the Biden decision to reverse Trump's immigration policies was bringing more unaccompanied minors to the country. She admits that. And she said they're coming to the border and we're trying to treat them humanely. But she refuses to call the flood of children a crisis. Our focus here is on getting to the root of the issues and taking actions. We don't feel the need to play games with what it's called. So it's not a crisis. It's what they call a vital human challenge. You know what the Mexican president, Obrador, says about Biden? He had a virtual meeting with Biden March 1st, and he said Biden is, quote, the migrant president. That's what he said. He was quoted in Reuters saying they see him as the migrant president, and so many feel they're going to reach the United States. But again, we've got the White House saying, we're doing a good job. We inherited a bad problem. And they got Chuckie Schumer running around giving the same storyline. Now, I know some of you must be concerned about COVID coming across. Well, you have every good reason to be concerned about it. But this issue of trying to assess blame somewhere else, Congressman Henry Cuellar, a Democrat of Texas, makes it very clear where the buck should stop.
Whoever the president is, that president will own the situation. And I know nobody wants to start an administration with the word crisis, but the numbers are going to be increasing. There are three messages, and I want to put yourself and myself if we're in Central America. One message from the White House, don't come now, come later. Message number two from the family members and neighbors, hey, Pedro, hey, ya pasamos. Hey, we're able to come over right now. Message number three is from the criminal organizations. Hey, I can get you across, pay me a little bit of money. And they're all going to listen to message number two and number three. Quite honestly, that is what's happening.
That is exactly right. They're going to listen to the message, not the message for the Biden administration, don't come just yet. They're going to listen in particular to that last message. We will help you get across the border. The coyotes funding the drug cartels, we will help you get across. And they are. And they're coming across with who knows what diseases and so forth that aren't being checked. Now, you can't fault them. They're living in a country where they don't have a lot of medical care anyway and the squalid conditions they live in. But at the same time, they should be checked for whatever disease they're carrying before they come across our border and go throughout the United States, and certainly for COVID right now. So there's been a story going around dealing with the COVID issue. There's been a story that the Department of Homeland Safety had a vaccination program underway for 64,000 frontline employees, Border Patrol agents. They're going to take care of them. Well, that's a good idea. They should. But it's apparently, according to the National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd, it's smoke and mirror. Smoke and mirrors. There is no such vaccine program covering 64,000 frontline employees. DHS in an email response said, there is no higher priority than the health and safety of our workforce, and we're accelerating distribution of COVID-19 to our personnel, some 64,000 frontline DHS employees. Have received a vaccination? Brandon Judd says, no, you're not. This is all being done through the VA. Only a select few VA hospitals. Periodic emails are sent to Border Patrol agents, and you get on a waiting list, a long waiting list. DHS is claiming more than 24% of their frontline employees have been vaccinated. Apparently, that's also, to Jordan, it's a lie. The whole thing, he says, is a bureaucratic nightmare, which is understandable. And then you got the illegals coming across. If they even find in a rapid test that they have COVID, they're not stopping them. They're not stopping them. They're letting them go. And it's going to continue that way. So when Joe Biden last night talking about where we were a year ago dealing with COVID compared to where we are now that I'm in office, I want to see where we're going to be a year from now with Joe Biden. Well, he won't make a year. I should correct that. With the Democrats in the White House, that'd be Kamala, in 1 year from now. I'd put money on it. I'll put money on it right now that Kamala will be the president by this time next year. And I'm looking at a much faster timeline. And I'll bet she is as well. But they're not going to do anything different other than blame Trump for any failures and cover up any issues. And the biggest thing they like and they still use, Trump was a racist. And if you're against, they will say if you're against immigration, you're a racist. They want to buy into that line that you must be a racist if you're against immigration. Well, first of all, I'm not against immigration. I'm against illegal immigration. Oh, that's right. They don't want you to use the word illegal. I saw some sign the other day. No human being is illegal. I know where that came from. Others are saying, don't call them aliens. That's not a good term for America, for humans either. And they'll use a race card continuously. And I had pointed out to you previously, I had a big concern because as the left continues to push that narrative, knowing that there are more minorities that are walking away from the Democrat Party. They may or may not go for Trump. They may or may not go for independent, but they're not going to be with the Democrats anymore. They felt that they've been not just used but abused, and they're walking away. They're making their own mind up. And so, again, all of them have to be racist as well. It makes no difference if they're brown, black, yellow, red. If they're not with the Democrats the way they should be, well, then they must be racist. And that's why they push on Trump, that he feared the brown menace. Remember that? That was something that sounded scary, and the brown menace. It was their way of saying Trump's a racist against brown people as well. I told you yesterday for the Democrats that have been courting and working actively for decades now with the black vote, trying to hold them in check and stay in the urban plantation and vote when we tell you to and how to, they're beginning to lose that grip and they're having problems with it, but they really need to worry beyond that because the Democrats of today, they're not so much looking at the black populace, they're looking at the Hispanic. The numbers I cited for you yesterday, 60% of Americans are either classified as white or non-Hispanic, 16%, 14 to 16% Hispanic, less than 12% black, and the Hispanic numbers are going to increase dramatically with increasing numbers of illegals coming across. And the Democrat Party is all excited about it. They see new voting numbers, and they are brown voting numbers. So for many black Americans who thought the Democrats were really going to care about them, they're not going to care that much anymore because you're not going to have the voting power they want. But still, right now, it's fair game to call anybody who's on the other side, regards to their color, that they've got to be racist as well. That happened the other day. Don Lemon Fruitcake claiming that Senator Tim Scott, a Republican of South Carolina, is a racist. You've got Rachel Maddow saying that he's obviously part of a token black group for the Republicans. Well, Senator Tim Scott, a Republican of South Carolina, responded to the fact that this woke supremacy that he says is out of control.
It was the woke supremacist, by the way, who said that me and Herschel Walker were the coon squad. Mm. If you watch the folks who are yelling the loudest right now, it includes people who are at their wits' end because there are African Americans who are willing to speak their minds from a conservative perspective.
He's absolutely right. And I had to correct something. I said Rachel Maddow said that. It was not her. It was Joy Reid, who's a black woman on MSNBC, and calling Scott, the long black Republican in the U.S. Senate, a token, saying he provides a patina of diversity for the GOP press conferences that they want to hold. And again, when they continue doing this, where is the unity that Biden was preaching? It doesn't exist. They want uniformity. And Senator Scott says it's reached a point now with all this name-calling and constantly making this an issue that it's become a real threat, a real threat.
Why that requires people to call my office and threaten my life, why that requires me to have a security detail because I decide to stand up for my values, my convictions based on my faith, I don't understand that. So Don Lemon can say whatever Don Lemon wants to say, but until he has taken a serious look at what's happening on his side of the aisle and come out strong against that, we're going to continue to have a conversation in America that keeps us divided and not building a bridge so that we can live in this nation together.
Again, the words of Senator Tim Scott, Republican, South Carolina. And as long as the left does that and continues to say that if you are against immigrants coming into our country, you've got to be a racist. You fear the brown menace like Trump did. If you believe we should have a border and it should be a crime to cross it without proper documentation, you're a racist. We won't have a country at this rate. We will not have a border. We will lose everything because if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And, of course, the COVID issue. Biden, just in his presentation last night, wanted everyone to believe, I'm here, I'm in control, things will be much better. Really? Well, we'll let you hear a little bit of it when we continue. Joe Biden, president, coming up next.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A year ago, we were hit with a virus that was met with silence and spread unchecked. Denials for days, weeks, then months. That led to more deaths, more infections, more stress, and more loneliness. 2 months ago, this country didn't have nearly enough vaccine supply to vaccinate all or ever near all of the American public. But soon we will.
Soon we will. And how would we have that vaccine ready that soon? Because the Trump administration exercised warp speed operation to get the meds quickly brought to the market in a safe way to provide protection. Joe Biden didn't bother mentioning that. He wanted you to believe that a year ago from now that we were having nothing but silence from the White House. We obviously had action from the White House as Trump shut down flights from China, and Biden himself and Nancy Pelosi and others said, there he is again, xenophobia, hates brown people, yellow people. And eventually they came around and said, well, he didn't shut them down soon enough. So last night, Biden, in his first address to the nation as president, also said, listen to Dr. Fauci. Well, what part do we listen to Dr. Fauci? You don't need a mask, he said in the beginning. Masks won't stop it. Not necessary. Then later said, yes, they are. Then maybe saying, well, they may not work all the time. And then saying, well, you might need to do double mask. And the CDC has said you can put kids back at school. But too many are not doing that because they want to use it as an opportunity to get something else. And also keep this in mind. You talk about a super spreader. What is happening at our border right now? In fact, Republicans, House Republicans, sent a letter to the Biden administration saying what is happening at our border right now with thousands coming across, probably unchecked. This is, quote, a guaranteed super spreader event. And the Biden administration is not doing anything to stop it. Nothing, nothing. And in fact, they're considering eliminating a CDC order known as Title 42. Title 42 gives federal immigration authority to quickly apprehend, detain, and return any border crossers to their native countries for the sake of U.S. public health. Why do they want to drop that? Well, they don't want to exercise Title 42, with adults arriving with children, they want to make sure they get into the country, even if they're carrying COVID. New York Times opinion piece by a freelance journalist. The coronavirus made the radical possible. That's absolutely true. It is a fact. But listen to how it played out. We knew it was underway, and this is clear evidence and documentation and approval. Last spring, as a poorly understood virus swept the planet, something remarkable happened. Across the country, all levels of government put in place policies that just a few months earlier would have been seen by most people, not to mention most politicians, as radical and politically naive. The column goes on to say the pandemic has been a long nightmare, but those were progressive pipe dreams turned reality. The arrival of the coronavirus forced American policymakers to admit a new world wasn't just possible, it was necessary so they could ban any utility shutoffs and thousands of incarcerated could be released from prison. The pandemic gave an opportunity for the liberals to do what they wanted. And they have released criminals from jail, put down restrictions and control it. And in their opinion, they never want these emergency interventions to disappear. Even the columnist for the New York Times said the pandemic's end now appears on the horizon, and millions are desperate to return to normal. But when it comes to many issues from climate change to child care, a return to normal is aiming far too low as far as the liberals are concerned. So this issue at the border, it is a crisis despite what the Biden administration refuses to acknowledge. There's also a way that you can track what's happening, a policy tracker of what's happening referencing Biden border catastrophe. We're going to give you information about that as well. Because in the next segment, we're going to be joined by James Carafano, an expert with Heritage, an expert on national security. I haven't had James on for a while, so I'm very interested to get his take right now on this border crisis. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And my guest, we haven't had on for a while. Glad to have him booked for today. James J. Carafano, leading expert in national security with the Heritage Foundation. Welcome aboard again, Jim.
It seems like it was just yesterday. What do you mean?
Yeah, I know it does seem like that. But it's been a long while. But I'm glad we got back together. I want your response to a quote from Chuck Schumer's Democrat in New York, Senator Schumer, saying that President Joe Biden inherited a big mess at the border left by Trump.
Well, we just published on the Heritage website this, I know, last week.
I know.
which shows all the things that Trump put in place to secure the border and all of the ones that Biden has changed. I mean, the reality is illegal immigration was we were deporting more people than were coming into the United States at the end of the Trump administration. And under Biden, you know, we went to 6,000 a day. So we're on track for 200,000 illegal immigrants entering the country a month. When Biden was the vice president, the Obama administration said that a crisis at the border was 1,000 crossings per day. So they have 6,000, the level of a crisis. So, I mean, Schumer's statement was just completely lack credulity.
Well, they also try to rephrase it. They want to call it a crisis. They just call it a challenge. It's a challenge.
Well, look, here's a challenge for them. It is a challenge. They're not stupid people. They knew that reversing all these policies was going to cause an automatic demand for illegal immigration, and they knew that the coyotes were going to use this as a recruiting tool to recruit people to come here. I think what surprised them was how fast it is. And the challenge is they cannot move illegal immigrants into the country fast enough.
Now, we're going to, you mentioned the Heritage, policy tracker, folks. We'll be putting that up on this podcast and also on my Facebook, so you can go direct to it. Just click the link and it'll take you right to follow these policies that we've seen with the Biden border catastrophe. But Jim, when they continue to say it's just a challenge, and you're right, they have said, even Jen Psaki admitted, yeah, we just didn't want everybody to come now. But the moment Biden was elected, officially elected, the caravans, as you know, were already en route. So they considered the door is open. There is no border anymore.
There was zero caravans that approached the U.S. southern border in 2020. So let's zero. Now you have 6,000 people per day. And to put that in context, likely every one of them passed through the hands of the cartels. The cartels charge upwards of $10,000 a person. So literally millions of dollars a month that the Biden administration has created an opportunity for the cartels to reap. What do they do with those millions of dollars? They go to China and they find precursors to make fentanyl, and they flood our streets with poison that kills our kids and destroys our communities. So it's a human rights crisis. It's a criminal crisis. It's a public health crisis, because some estimates in the Department of Homeland Security say up to 25% of the people that come across are COVID positive. It's an enormous burden on American taxpayers, who are going to have to bear the cost of illegal immigration. And it falls heaviest on local communities. So the same communities that are devastated by COVID have to educate these children in the school, have to pay the costs in their public hospitals, have to provide them social services.
So when you brought the COVID thing last night, Biden was telling Americans, you know, we're going to get through this. Hopefully by May, all adults will be vaccinated, and you might be able to celebrate July 4th in small groups. And of course, when he says all adults, even if you take that, he's talking about American adults. And as you're right, they've got thousands upon thousands are coming through. They did a rapid test down in a Brownsville bus station, found 6 to 8% of those they tested had COVID, and they can't hold them. They just simply let them go. They let them go throughout the rest of the country. If you come back if I go down to Mexico and fly back in at an airport, nowadays, I've got to have proof that I had, to even get on the airline carrier, that I had a rapid test in the previous 72 hours, that I don't have COVID.
Right. So they've got all kinds of restrictions from people flying from overseas to the United States. And they actually have more people passing through the American southern border who are COVID positive. And you know that those people, once they're in the interior, it's incredibly unlikely that they're going to get tested. It's very unlikely that they're going to go get vaccines. It's very likely that they're all immediately going to look for a job. And whenever they go to work, they're going to spread COVID. So for the administration to say you can't hug your grandmother, you have to wear two masks, and they're literally importing COVID every day into this country, it makes zero sense.
Your signal's breaking up a little bit, but I think we got most of it. I do want to point the president of the National Border Patrol Council, who represents about 20,000 Border Patrol agents, said in 24 years, he's never seen a daily migrant surge like we're seeing now. And he also said the DHS is lying when it says it's protecting the Border Patrol agents and giving them vaccinations. He said they get on a list, a long list, and eventually they might get one, but they're not being protected, and they're dealing with all these folks coming across.
What the Biden administration has done is they've turned the Department of Homeland Security from an agency which is responsible for securing the border and enforcing immigration laws into an agency that's responsible for facilitating illegal immigration into the United States. That's what's happened. It happened in less than a month.
We all knew it was going to happen. I mean, there's no surprise there. I mean, the fact that the Biden administration wants to say now, well, we just didn't expect they would come right away. Congressman Cuellar of Texas, Cuellar, was saying there are three messages are getting down in Central America. One, from the Biden administration, don't come just yet. Then the message among friends and neighbors, hey, the border's open, let's get together and go. And a third, the cartel saying, give us your money, we will get you to the border. And they're going to listen to the last two messages.
Do you know that there's actually language in the Biden's immigration bill which requires the Department of State to advertise in Latin America on how you can come into the United States and make sure that you're allowed to come into the country.
No, I had heard that, but I didn't know if it's a fact. You're saying it's actually there.
That is language that is in the bill. The other thing that's in the bill is, look, says we're going to give $40 billion to the Latin American countries because, you know, we want to help deal with the crisis. Look, $40 billion without any requirements to actually do anything, that's they're going to take that money and go buy Mercedes. Meanwhile, they're going to continue to send their citizens here because they know they'll send remittances, which is essentially the social welfare network for those countries. So they're going to get a double paycheck out of this. It's, you know, with $40 billion, you could complete the border wall 10 times over.
And to that extent, they're not. And to that extent, they're not. There's still pieces that are open 80 to 100 yards here and there. And the parts are right there on the ground. They just got to put them up, but all the work stopped. I do know that there apparently there's a CDC order known as Title 42 that federal immigration authorities can use Title 42 to apprehend, detain, retain border crossers, send them back to their native countries for the sake of public health. But they're basically being told, don't use Title 42.
Exactly. As soon as the Biden team came in, they withdrew that authority. They are incentivizing illegal immigration. They're not even trying to hide it. And, you know, because actually Mexico's done such a terrible job managing their economy in the last few years, the likelihood of the illegal immigrant surge into the United States is going to grow. And look, we all think that immigration's great.
Legal immigration,
yeah. Yeah, that they can grow the economy and grow jobs. But when you look at 6% unemployment, the notion of importing a million additional illegal immigrants to work off the books, that how does anybody think that's a good idea?
They don't. But as I pointed out earlier, and I was pointing out facts yesterday as well, the Democrat Party right now, they're not that concerned about the black vote anymore. They think they still have that locked up, but they are looking at the brown vote. And the population base I saw from the latest stats shows 60% of American populace would be considered white, non-Hispanic, 16% Hispanic, and 12% black. And the brown number is going to start rapidly increasing. That is a future voting block the Democrats are going to be courting, and that's the whole purpose of this.
I think they're looking to H.R. 1, which is their big voting bill, essentially to lock in Democratic rule in this country forever. And then they really don't have to worry about what voters think. Because I agree with you. I don't think anybody voted for this. Immigration and border security was not an item that was, you know, a big deal during the campaign. Matter of fact, the one time Biden brought it up during the debates, he got excoriated over it. They hardly ever talked about it. I think wildly all conservatives think that fostering illegal immigration is a bad idea. I think most Americans think it's a bad idea. They don't like people jumping to the head of the line. They don't like that they have to bear the cost of that. They don't like the public safety risks that go with that. So I don't think most Americans want this, but I don't think they care. Because I think their notion is they're going to lock up political power in this country forever. And they can do whatever they want. And they don't really care what Americans think anymore.
We're going to see where we are a year from now. And I think it's going to rubber hit the road before that time. James, I appreciate it. Again, we'll remind everybody the Heritage Foundation has up. It's titled Biden's Border Catastrophe, a Policy Tracker. We will have a link to it at my Facebook and on our podcast. And, Jim, I appreciate, again, you spending your time with us. I think we lost him there, but glad to have him during that time. The signal was interrupted from time to time, but I'm glad we got James on. So look for that posting on our site and the podcast, the Biden's Border Catastrophe, a Policy Tracker from the Heritage Foundation. I certainly encourage you to take a good look at it. Coming up, you know the story of the Dead Sea Scrolls, or maybe you don't know it exactly. You kind of know some of it. There was also a story of a Bible that some had thought was fake. Maybe not. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Been snooping on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You can wag your tail. I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In the Judean Desert, there is an area of caves. The Qumran Caves, as they're known. And most are natural. Some have been man-made. They're on the northern shore of the Dead Sea and the West Bank. Well, there was a time that those areas were used to store documents and so forth in the Qumran area. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, as they became known, were then discovered around 46 and 47, and again more in 1956, almost 980 or more different manuscripts found in 11 different caves, and all of them apparently linking back to ancient Jewish religious manuscripts. Biblical texts older than the Dead Sea Scrolls have been discovered in a couple of silver scroll-shaped items as well, including the Book of Numbers, apparently found in an area excavated in Jerusalem. All of these using the Hebrew text. Some were written in Aramaic. But all of these talk about and offer proof of the religion as it existed back then, and not just the Jewish religion, but Christ, and leading to that through prophets, the minor and major prophets. Well, there had also been, back in September of 48, I'm sorry, not in 48, it was in, I don't have the date here, but basically there had been a Bible found that some were considering to be an ancient Bible, and it was challenged, though, as it's really a fake. Again, supposedly, it was among some fragments found by someone in a cave near the Dead Sea. Again, Qumran caves. For 140 years, many were arguing it's fake, it's not authentic. Now they're saying that they do believe that this manuscript contained the original book of Deuteronomy, as they were saying back then, but now they're thinking it is indeed legitimate. In fact, there was a paper released saying the valediction of Moses, new evidence on the Deuteronomy fragments. It outlines a number of techniques, including linguistic and archival evidence, to argue that the text is actually even earlier, a more primitive draft of Deuteronomy dating to the period of the First Temple. Experts, of course, still trying to do additional discovery. But they did have a closed-door seminar at Harvard last year, maybe a couple years ago, according to the New York Times, and they admitted this is worthy of closer inquiry. If it really is one of the original books of the Bible, it's pretty amazing. You don't have to be religious to understand the significance of it. And we know definitely from the Dead Sea Scrolls that these books written on various papyrus, parchment, sometimes on bronze, validate the religion as it existed before Christ and during the time of Christ. Pretty fascinating. By the way, there's a police officer I want to tell you about that deserves some attention. This is a police officer in Arkansas. Drives around in an unmarked police car. He's known all through the town of Camden, Arkansas. He patrols only 4 days a week. His name is L.C. Buckshot Smith. I wonder how he got that name. But he also said this badge and gun don't make you a police officer. You got to respect people. And he did earn respect for more than four decades as a deputy, and they got his childhood nickname Buckshot applied to him ever since he was 14 years old. He retired after working for 46 years as a deputy. But the retirement only lasted for 5 months. He said, I didn't have any fun. I don't really hunt or fish. There's really nothing for me to do. So he went back to the police force. Went back as a rookie. He has a gun, doesn't plan on having to use it, But he gets around and knows people, makes contact with them. He can help resolve some issues before other officers have to get involved. And in some cases, he has, as he said, taken more than a few people home rather than taking them to jail. They're thinking that's really what they need. They don't have to go to jail tonight. They can just give them a night. They'll clear things up. And he's still not ready to retire. When he rejoined as a rookie cop in Camden, Arkansas, he was in his 80s. He's going to turn 92 in May. And L.C. Buckshot Smith still has no intention of retiring. He says, I don't want to retire. I'll retire when the good Lord tells me to. 91 years old, still patrolling the streets of Camden, Arkansas, and helping maintain peace and order and getting respect and honor. Good for him. Great story. Great story. As always, we appreciate you listening. Don't forget you can get podcasts at Larry Connors USA Facebook, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA YouTube. And of course, we'll be back here Monday. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.